short brim hat.
I want to be a private eye.
Hello, this is Clyde J. Gale of Mystery Play Internet Radio, and welcome to this podcast series of Radio Private Eyes, some of the best old-time radio detective shows on the net. As I prepare these shows for the Mystery Play Internet Radio live stream, and of course shows for the the podcast, I look at the dates and the bulk of these radio shows were written and presented and aired on radio in the 30s and 40s and some into the 50s, but the bulk was after the beginning of World War II. And at the time, the world was experiencing a devastating war and economic problems all over the world, economic depression, and people were terrified. And radio stepped up. These radio shows provided them comfort and a little bit of release and ease of their troubles, of our grandparents, and in some cases, great-grandparents, and in some of us, great-great-grandparents. So I'm preparing these shows. I'm looking at these dates, and I'm thinking, radio has done it once again. These same shows that were aired back then have given us a connection with our relatives, because right now, with all the rioting, the pandemic, and the economic situation, people are terrified. People are scared. But they can sit back and they can listen to these radio shows. And just for 30 minutes to an hour, they can just forget about their problems and delve into the world of radio. Now, it wouldn't be possible for me to air these broadcasts if it wasn't for your support. So please visit www.mpir-otr.com. That's mpir-otr.com. And on the menu selection, select the donations and support menu item. A PayPal donation of $5, $10, $20, $50 or more will go a long way to pay for the operating costs and presenting these shows. But more importantly, for those who are unable to send a donation, you're helping your fellow man out. You're giving somebody a chance to forget about their troubles, forget about the problems in the world, and just delve into and relax with some outstanding radio entertainment. Again, that's www.mpir-otr.com. I thank you, and your fellow listeners thank you too. Okay, let's go on to our next program.
Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. NBC presents Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. How are you?
Hey, did you ever notice how every week I get dragged or thrown into a homicidal picnic where I get pushed around? And speaking about lumps and stuff reminds me of another form of homicide. The football racket. Started one night at Artie's Pool Palace. As I ankle toward the cue rack, I see a monster-type guy moving toward me. His eyes are full of things to say. I put the cue away, and when he was close enough, looked right down his necktie.
Butcher?
I ain't Liberace, kid. Who are you and what's in your mind?
Jerry Brady, and I got trouble.
What's my handmaiden doing for you?
Plenty. Look, I'm in a spot.
Oh, yeah, I place you. Jerry Brady. Best quarterback in pro football. Yeah, you're in a spot. You can lead the Bombers to a championship tomorrow night, for which you'll get a fat bonus.
Maybe tomorrow never comes.
What's eating you, Brady?
Bert Addison.
Bert Addison? What's the big wheel got to do with you?
He owns the Tiger.
So?
Look, Fortune, it ain't like I was an angel. I done business with Addison a long time ago. I blew a few games for him when I was in college. Got some long green that was forgotten. Then I signed up with the Bombers. Since I've been playing for Pat Casey, I've been straight. Now Addison's after me.
The fix, huh?
What else? He wants me to meet him at his joint, the Silver Cradle, at 9.
How do I fit in this thing?
I understand you and Addison had it out before. Figures you won, he wouldn't be around. Gonna turn him down cold. I want you around to make sure I get out with all my arms and legs.
What's it worth?
500 clams.
Kid, you got a new blocking back. I'll meet you at 9.
What'll it be, Buster? Hey, you're Jerry Brady. What a ball player. It's on the house. What do you drink?
Where's Addison?
No offense, Brady. The boss is back in his office.
Thanks a lot, Buster.
Come in. Couple hours early, aren't you, Brady?
Yeah, I wanted to talk without Casey.
Bert Addison's always ready to talk. Let's get to the point. We've done business before. How much do you want to call wrong plays all night?
$50,000.
That's a lot of dough.
That's my price.
Bet that on my Tigers at 3-1. You can wind up a rich boy.
Is it a deal or ain't it?
Yeah, Brady. I'll give you 25 now, the rest after the game.
All of it, big man. You got no worries. Your team, your odds, two quarterbacks working for you.
Don't get too bright, Brady.
Look, Addison, I'm out for the big kill.
Want to count it?
No. One thing before I go. I may be back at 9. If I am, play along with whatever I do. Get it?
You're running the plays, but you better not fumble.
Sergeant Hamilton J. Finger speaking.
Hiya, hey.
Oh, it's you, Fortune. What's on your perpetrated mind?
You made a boo-boo, Sarge, and I was just ready to cut you in on something grandiose.
Your heart bleeds with the milk of human kindness.
Sarge, I was going to give you a bed warmer for your birthday.
Come on, I ain't got all night.
I last signed a new job. I'm a bodyguard.
You a bodyguard? You mean a babysitter, don't you?
Yeah, very funny. Yeah, babysitter, except this big-headed kid is bouncing for 500 smackaroos.
500? You're working by the pound. You must be on Farouk's payroll.
Nope, I've been retained by a mud and cleat boy, Jerry Brady.
Mr. Football, huh? What do you want me to do, guard you?
Sometimes you're as precocious as Bonzo, Sarge.
Very funny. Well, if you're through guessing, I'm going to hang up.
Now, wait a minute, Finger. This may be something big. I'm meeting Brady at the Silver Cradle at 9. We got a date with Bert Addison. He tried to buy Brady off, and we're turning him down.
So what do you want from me?
Just wanted you to know. Thought you could call me at home later, make sure I was tucked in for the night.
Ain't that nice. Baby Rocky wants me to tell him a bedtime story. Get lost.
You're a real live doll, Sarge. But I'll wait with bated breath till I hear your blue little lips flapping in a couple hours. Bye now. A few minutes later, the cab dumped me off one block from the Silver Cradle. As I moved down the street, I saw three figures huddled together a short distance from the club. One was young, thick-chested, with a yard of shoulder, Jerry Brady. The other was older, stoop-shouldered and wiry. I'd seen him before, too. It was Pat Casey. The third party, oops, her clothes fit her like another layer of skin. I moved up to him, and Brady saw me first.
Hey, Fortune, over here. Pat Casey and his daughter, Nora.
Glad to meet you.
Hello.
Hiya.
I told Pat all about Addison. He's coming in with us, okay?
Sure. You met Addison before, didn't you, Fortune? The hockey scandal, wasn't it?
Yeah. Me and the big wheel were playmates.
Mm-hmm. Let's go, then. And remember, Jerry, let me and Fortune shoot off our faces.
Boss will see you guys. He's in the back office.
Thanks for nothing. Let's go.
Come in. Have a seat. Smoke? Drink, perhaps?
We're not the Kefauver Committee. Start talking.
I don't have a thing to say.
I do. I'm going to run your Tigers right out of the stadium.
You're just the guy who could do it. You know something, Brady? I was going to try to make a fix.
Look, Addison, no filthy bottom-of-the-barrel scum like you will get his hooks into this kid.
Tell him we've done business before, Brady.
I know about that, too, you parasite.
Okay, get out of here.
About your temper, Mr. Addison.
Give a funny little hired troubleshooter, eh, Fortune?
Your tonsils are out of tune, Addison.
You crumbs can leave now. And take that cheap crook quarterback with you.
Take one more step, Addison, and I'll bust your back. I did you a favor once, and I was paid. That was the end of it. I'm going to win with the Bombers tomorrow. You and no one else will stop me.
Leave him go. Good coach, Brady.
We caught a cab outside of the Silver Cradle and journeyed uptown like relatives in the last funeral car. Nora Casey sat next to Brady and caressed his hand gently. It did nothing for him, but it made me very nervous. After all this glib repartee, the cab stopped in front of the St. Francis Hotel. Casey bid us goodnight, and as he turned to go inside, his mind seemed to leave his face. We moved on. All the way to Brady's joint, he kept talking so much about Casey, I kind of wished he was my father. We reached Brady's apartment at the Regis Hotel.
Good night, Nora.
I thought we'd have a bite.
I got some things to do. Letters, you know.
What's the matter, Jerry? I don't understand.
Well, there's nothing wrong, baby. I just want to be alone.
But I thought we...
Please, Nora. Some other time, huh? Thanks, Fortune.
You're $500 welcome, pal.
Will you see Nora home?
I'll be looking all the way. Where to, Nora?
Drexel apartment.
Drexel apartment, Scabby. There's nothing worse than listen to a dame crying over another guy. I played like Mr. Antony and went for Nora's whole height. I turned down another drinking invite, took a rain check and phone number, and then headed home. I grabbed myself a quick belt and dropped into my favorite chair, and I was getting ready to doze off. Yeah?
How did your date with Brady and Addison go?
I'm home, ain't I?
It was Casey with you.
Sure, happy boy. So was his daughter.
11:30 now. What time did you leave it?
Brady, his whistle-bait daughter, and me dropped him off at the St. Francis Hotel about 9:30. Why?
They found Casey bouncing around the pavement a half hour ago. You better come down here.
Look, Fortune, the heat's on, and I ain't playing. A wit is one thing, murder's another. And you, as usual, are right in the middle of it. Now, I want some answers.
Okay.
How do you fit in the picture?
Brady hired me to keep him in one piece.
Who was going to break him?
I don't know. Bert Addison, maybe. Brady and Casey turned him down cold. There were a few words, and Casey belted Addison in a kisser.
I never thought it was suicide, anyhow. We better visit Addison.
Yeah. If Potbelly and his boys did it, they're cooling off. The thing to do is to watch Brady. The helmet kid is next if he don't play ball. And I know he won't go for the fix.
Yeah, well, let's go see him.
You make it, Sarge. I want to look around a bit. Got the world on a string. Da-da-dee-da-da-da.
All that fortune. This ain't no pipe in your back. First come Jack.
I got his water gun, Pete.
What's this, a heist?
We're going to take a ride, chum.
My two playmates are over six well-stacked feet. solid muscle extended from the feet right up between the ears. I had a hunch about him, but no one to tell it to, so I make like Jack Horner. A few minutes later, we stopped in front of a swelligan apartment house. I get hustled upstairs and shoved into a seat. Pete went into the next room to get the boss.
We meet again, Fortune.
Yeah. You may be a big wheel of these crumbs, but you're just a tinker-totter to me, Addison.
Look, Fortune, you're an honest guy. You're legit and
all... Flattery gets you no place.
I respect you and further...
I didn't know you cared, Cherub.
This is one time I'm playing it your way.
It looks like it.
Give him his gun.
What do I do now? Play heroic?
Look, Fortune, I've done lots of things. I play close to the law.
A mile outside of
it. All right, but I'm no murderer. I'm offering you a job.
For instance?
Find Casey's murderer. I'm being penciled in for a frame. I didn't have to knock him off. I had my deal. Tell him, Pete.
I work at the bar at the Cradle till 8. Bernie came in a little after 7 and saw the boss.
So what?
I don't expect you to believe me. I laid 50 grand on him. He was going to call wrong plays all night. He came back with you and Casey to make it look good.
What are you building?
Take a look at these.
100 grand worth of bets on the Tigers. So what?
I bet that loot at 8:15 p.m. after I met Brady.
Why do you want to hire me?
I can't afford a bum rap. Find a thing.
I might wind up at your back door.
What's the tariff?
5 G's. All counted with your pudgy little fingers.
That's cheap.
You're on a level.
Well, count it.
You mean I can leave without lumps or anything?
Yeah.
Hey. I'd like to do something before I go.
Name it.
I didn't like the way he frisked me. I'll check with you at the Cradle, fat boy. I grabbed a one-eyed cab that was creeping up the street and headed for the St. Francis Hotel. I wanted to find out about Casey's bounce. I laid a sawbuck in the desk clerk for which he tipped me onto a bellboy named Perkins. Perkins, it seems, had a tidbit to talk about, and I found him down in the service department.
You, Perkins?
What's even you, Dad?
Conversation?
I don't gas with no strangers. Hello, Tom.
Tell me about Casey.
I ain't talking till I see my lawyer.
Try this double sawbuck for size.
Hey, okay, man. Casey, call for ice water. I breeze up in 5 minutes, and as I reach the door, I hear yakking, so I listen. Some square's coming on real strong. Tells Casey they can make a big killing. But Casey starts singing the cop blues. Then I hear scuffling and a window opening and then quiet. I got scared and took off down the hall.
What time was that?
Somewhere near 10, maybe later.
You see anyone?
Hmm?
20 more, do it.
Love that long green.
Start singing.
Saw Jerry Brady come out of the room.
Brady, huh?
Yeah.
Look, hipster. I'm no patsy, and I don't dig hypo's blade on me. I'm no square, and I get mad easy. Brady was with me at 10 at his hotel.
Hey, take it easy, Mac. I'm fragile. So he's got an alibi. But I saw Brady. Now do me something.
All right, Bob, you saw Brady. Tell the cops the same tale. I left Perkins, grabbed the cab, and headed to the Regis Hotel Apartments. I wanted to check on Brady. I called his apartment from the lobby. He was out. When the desk clerk slapped his eyes back to the racing form, I slipped upstairs to his room. I turned the joint upside down and came up with a couple of needles in a haystack. Headed back to the lobby where I made 3 calls. A, Nora Casey. I needed her for the bait. B, Sergeant Finger. I needed him for the cloak and dagger bit. C, Bert Addison. He was right about the 50 grand, and I wanted to deliver his fink. They said they'd meet me right away. Hi, Nora.
I'm worried sick. What's the matter? Your call sounded so urgent, and after what happened to Dad, I'm afraid, Rocky.
Look, you'd like to see this thing cleared up, wouldn't you, honey?
Well, how can you... Of course... course I would.
Well, then you gotta help me, but tears ain't gonna make it.
What do you want me to do?
You gotta play a scene. Just do like I tell you. If you do it, we can clear this whole thing up.
I'll do it.
Good. Well, look, Brady should be back in a couple of minutes. We'll give him time to get up to his apartment. Then you go up and play like nothing's happened.
But what has happened?
I'm not sure yet, but you gotta trust me. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. There goes Brady now. Look, we'll give him time to get upstairs.
I don't understand you. You don't think Jerry... Why, Rocky, you can't
think... I said you have to trust me.
I do.
Good. Now go on up. And just be yourself. If things jam up, I'll be around.
Jerry.
Just a minute.
Nora, baby, come in.
I called you earlier from the police station.
Yeah, well, I must have been having dinner.
Are you going somewhere?
Packing stuff I won't be needing.
All your clothes?
After tomorrow, I'll be getting some new stuff. What's the matter with you?
Oh, I'm just being a woman, I guess. You didn't pack my picture.
Oh. Well, I was saving that for last.
What's happened to us, Jerry?
How was that for sight?
I don't know.
Never kissed you like that before, did I?
Felt like I never kissed you before.
Hello? Hello?
What's keeping you?
I'm on my way. Where you going, Nora?
Been refreshing my makeup. Need it.
Who are you talking to?
The love of my life. Nora Casey. What's the address?
123 East 24th Street, apartment 3.
123 East 24th Street, apartment 3. Be there right away.
Got some money?
Yeah.
See ya.
Come here, Cuddles.
No.
How does that feel?
It's hurting me.
If you don't do what I tell you, I'll mash every bone in your pink little body. Understand, baby?
I needn't tell you, I lost my guts when we got up to Brady's apartment. It looked pretty helpless until Potbelly Addison discovered Nora's message. With lipstick, she scrawled an address on the bathroom medicine cabinet. 123 East 24th Street, apartment 3. We sprinted out of the room, made an express out of the elevator, dodged through the lobby, and barreled into the patrol car. All the way over to 24th Street, I felt like a drunk ready to pass up the next round. Fingers sat like a stone sphinx, and Fatso Addison fooled with a cigarette with nervous fingers. I just couldn't keep my numb mind off apartment 3.
Please don't hit me anymore.
Who sent you up to that hotel room?
No one.
All right, let's try it again. Who sent you up to that?
Hey, what's with her?
Yeah, she's on the verge of talking, ain't you, doll? Talk to Moose and me.
Please, leave me alone.
Hey, look at lady. I'll squash your skull, and I ain't kidding. Who sent you up?
Told you. I told you the truth.
Hey, if that's the cop, lady, she passed out. Put her on the bed. I'll get the door.
Who is it?
Old Addison.
What you want?
I want to talk to Brady.
Let him in.
Hey, what is this?
Okay, muscle brain, get back and put your hands up. Finger, cover Brady.
What's the matter? You guys nuts?
Shut up, you bum.
Get moving, mister. Watch him, Finger. I'll look after Miss Casey. How are you feeling, kid?
Thank God you're here, Rocky. They beat me so...
Nice guys. Can you manage?
I'm all right now. Look in the other room. He needs help.
Worked him over, too, huh?
Finger? Come here. Give Addison the gun. He's got 50 grand wrapped up in the scam.
If they pull anything, don't be afraid to use it.
All right, Sergeant.
Okay, Fortune, surprise me.
Take a look.
I'm looking. Who is it?
Why don't you stop using those eye drops? Take a good look.
What? Well, that's Brady.
Yeah, and he sure ain't going to play tomorrow.
Well, what about the thing
Twin brother. The old double reverse hit. I'll explain the whole thing later.
Get away from that window.
Why didn't you shoot? I'm jumping.
Don't be a jerk, Buster. It's a long way down.
Wound him, Addison.
That beat won't shoot. Guy covers.
The money's still floating down.
Why didn't you shoot at it?
I never shot a gun in my life.
I believe him, Sarge. You better call headquarters and have them collect the pieces. Let's get the show on the road. On the way back to town, I briefed the eminent Sergeant Finger with the unobvious details. Nora rode back with Jerry Brady, who came around. But he can only talk to her by Braille. They were both nursing a batch of Purple Hearts, and Addison rode with us. He was quiet, like a guy with so many thoughts he was double-parking them. Finger dropped me off at my place with a promise to check later. And except for wear and tear, I was $5,500 richer. I was counting how many more defense bonds I could buy when they dumped me off. And I was glad to get home. Artificial arm and leg.
Very funny, Fortune.
If it isn't Sergeant Finger, boy cop, what's on your alleged mind?
I got some reports for you to sign tomorrow. Addison canceled out all his bets, says he's going to sell the Tigers and go legit.
He's still a mile outside the law.
Yeah, so's the corner bookie. Got the album and the letters. Fortune, the twin escaped from an asylum. Jerry Brady was hiding him out. Picked up Perkins. He established the time. The reason he didn't see Moose was because they split up. Hey, Fortune, you listening?
Sure, needle noise, I'm listening.
Well, the Moose worked Casey over, but the twin dumped him. Moose cracked under questioning, and then
How's the weather, Sarge?
Getting cold.
I'll buy you some musk for your blue little ears. Come on, Sarge.
Hey, I ain't through yet. Hey,
Fortune, hey, Rocky, you... Ah, what's the use?
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast included Burt Holland, Lou Krugman, Ted Bonelts, Maurice Hart, Joe Forte, Bibby Janis, Eddie Fields, Lee Millar, and Jack Mather. Tonight's script was written by Doc Stanford. Andrew C. Love directed. Now, to tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Next week, I'll tell you about the time I took a job as a social director in the Catskill Mountains. $10 a week, all you can eat, wait on tables in the daytime, and don't forget to dance with the middle-aged widows in the evening. All of which ain't bad, except that in my case, the social director had to double as a funeral director at his own funeral. See you around.
Rocky Fortune is a weekly presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.